Okay, let us pray. Our gracious Father, we want to thank you once again for this privilege that you have given to us to come before you and to look up to you that you will feed our souls. We are asking for your unction that as you have been with us right from the beginning of the day, that you by your Spirit will take absolute control, that every flesh will be silent, and that you cause our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, him alone and him alone, will be magnified for everyone to see and your people edified. For in Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Okay, turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. I will read verses 19 through to 24. Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. May the Lord add blessing and understanding to the reading of his word into our hearts. Amen. Amen. Please let me just remind us, if your phones are on, please turn them off. Please. I'm saddled with the topic that says you cannot have two masters. And for all of us who have been here right from yesterday, the theme of the conference remains in the world, but not of the world. And we have been exposed to what worldliness is, the danger of worldliness. And we have also seen the basis for true worship, that is the gospel. We've also heard, you know, concerning what the holy calling of Christian is. And we also listen to the fact that there is a difference between the love of God and that of the world. So this is just to cement all that we have heard since yesterday. I want you to see that Matthew chapter 6 is an amplification of chapter 5, that is the Sermon on the Mount. And the section that I've read to you will show us how the Lord is trying to help us to understand the disease that plagues the heart of all human beings. And that disease is latent in some people, and in some people it is overtly seen. And you may be wondering, what disease am I talking about? That disease is called idolatry. After the fall of man, there is indescribable rebellion in man. The human depravity is not something that you and I can readily understand. And that is why many of us seated here would not readily admit to the fact that we have this disease called idolatry inside of us. Only God can help each and every one of us to understand what this disease is all about. Because it's a condition of the heart. Only God can help any man to be able to understand his or her own heart. I know that some of us are seated here, you are confident that you can say, I know my heart. I used to say that until I met the Lord. I realized that I do not know what my heart is capable of. But let's use the scripture to buttress that so that maybe you too can begin to see whether you know the treasury that your heart is capable of. Look at Jeremiah 17. Look at verse 9. I want you to look at your Bible. Bring out your Bible. This is Bible conference. Bring out your Bible, the harp or whatever that you have. Turn to that section of the Bible. Jeremiah 17. I'll read verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately seek who can understand it. The answer is in verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3 also reinforces that to tell you the condition of your own heart. It says in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of good. You can see how many people not following me now. I want you to stop looking at other people. I want you to listen to me. We have said that what we are talking about is a matter of life and what? Death. Sometimes we come for conferences like this, we don't take it seriously. We don't take it seriously. I want you to listen and listen carefully to what I have to say. Just bear with me for a few minutes. Okay? The preachers says in Ecclesiastes, I'm going to repeat that, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also the hearts of the children of man are full of good. Evil, you know your heart, isn't it? And madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say about your heart? Look at Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. This is the depraved mind. This is the corruption of the heart of man. We have heard concerning this. This is where we are brought out from, the thickness of the darkness of sin. This is where we are rescued from. And only the truth or the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can rescue anyone from this darkness. Nothing else will help. No amount of pragmatic statements or sweet words that people speak to you outside there will deliver you. Health and wealth gospel is the worst enemy of the cross. Health and wealth. Places where you see at all times their banner is always talking about seven ways to doing so, 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 and so, or to recover your destiny. Or 20 ways that you can change your prosperity. When I see such banners, my heart bleeds. My heart bleeds. And this is where people are running to. They are always running and seeking the prosperity that the Lord hasn't promised many. I will show you from the scriptures, because many of us who think that you can actually join together the worship of God and mammon or money. And there is no part in the scriptures where you as a believer, one that is called of God, you are told to pursue earthly riches. In fact, you are told to flee from it. I will establish that for you in the scriptures. So for you to see that what the health and wealth people are preaching outside there is they are raising covetousness in people. They are raising greedy people. They are raising people who are not contented with the lot that the Lord has put them in. And that's a major problem. A major, major problem. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are preoccupied with anxiety of this world, worldly acquisitions, you have the danger lying ahead of you that you are going to be an idolater. You are going to be what? An idolater. And many don't know this. And that is why it's such a great concern for the Lord. When the Lord asked the people of Israel, he tells them in Jeremiah that I read to you, who can know the heart? Who can know the heart? Your heart is desperately what? Wicked. Your heart won't spare you. It's desperately wicked. And this covetousness that we're talking about, Paul says that covetousness is idolatry. If you look at Ephesians 5, look at verse 5. It says, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Don't forget, idolatry is rooted in covetousness. And the 10th commandment is what? That we should not covet. That we should not covet. And if you are going to be coveting from people, what the world calls pragmatic ways of surviving in the world, there is no way you will not be profiling people. And in profiling people, you want to be like them or you want to surpass them. They tell you that you are setting standards and goals for yourself. And there is nothing wrong in setting standards and goals for yourself. But you will see that we're talking about the principles of the kingdom of God. The principle of the kingdom of God is quite different from the principles of this world. It's contrary to the principles of this world. If you're talking about success, the principles of success in the kingdom is quite different from the principle of success in the world. And that is why we see churches having business schools. Business schools that they exact fortunes from people. They sell them a lie because everybody wants to be rich. Everybody wants to be rich. Nobody will own up to the fact that you are sold out to the idol called money. Here the Lord is helping us to be able to see what he himself is bringing us into, to see the warnings that you and I must take heed to. The portion of the scriptures that I read to you, we have some warnings there, and they will form the basis of my discourse with you. My outlines will be three, and for you to see warning against earthly acquisitions. Warning against earthly acquisition. You see that in 19 and 20. And then the second one, warning against the lust of the eyes, 22, 23. And then you see the last one, warning against hypocritical service. Warning against hypocritical service. Then I will conclude. Let's look at the first one, warning against earthly acquisitions. The Lord opens us in 19, that is chapter 6 of Matthew. It tells you categorically, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. This earth that we live in is a cursed place. It's a cursed place. Even though we are being given grace to be able to live, to extract and make use of this earth, but we're not supposed to build our hopes around things that you have here on earth. And it's important for us to know that believers are supposed to live their lives as pilgrims, as strangers, as aliens in this world. Please wake that brother, he's snoring. Now, God wants us to live our lives as the example that he gave to us in Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham, even though he was promised Canaan, he looked forward to a city whose builder and maker is who? God. He did not build here 50-room mansions. He lived in what? In a tent. He lived in a tent. He was a rich man. He was heavenly minded. We're told not to build anything here. And for you, as a person who has been called out of the world, out of darkness, made the marvelous light of God, you are told to build your treasures in heaven. And you can't build treasures in heaven if you are not citizens of heaven. If you are not a citizen of heaven, you can open accounts there. You can't. And the currency that you have here is not convertible in heaven. But the heavenly currency is convertible here on earth. Why? Because heaven rules in the affairs of men. And we're told this specifically. The Lord is not kidding with anybody. But we're seeing the rat race that everyone is following the rat race. You know, everybody wants to have something that they want names to be, you know, to be attached to. We want fame. We want to be in the magazine. We want to be known by everybody. But the Lord says to us here, don't build treasures for yourself here on earth. The moment you begin to build treasures for yourself here, you have plagued yourself with anxiety. You plagued yourself with what? Anxiety. The Lord says in Matthew 6:31, therefore, do not be anxious for what? Anything. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? The Bible tells us that the Lord knows your needs much more than Abraham Maslow. You know hierarchy of needs. But do you know that all the things that Abraham Maslow listed, they are needful? But the major need of man, Abraham Maslow, did not know. The cause of the problem of man that made man to become needy, Abraham Maslow couldn't deal with that. The problem of sin and the condition of the heart of man. You can't find it in any psychological book. You can't find it in any psychological book. I told you that I will show you that the Lord says that you should not in any way pursue wealth. in pursuing wealth is going to bring you anxiety, all sorts of pains. You will not be able to sleep. I can hear some people saying that, well, let me even taste it a little bit. If I can't sleep, I will drink Valium. But turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's read verses 8 to 10. But if we have food and clothing, with this we will be content. But those who desire, but those who lust, but those who desire to be rich fall into what? Temptation. Into a snare. Into many what? Senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into what? Ruin. Read your Bible. Plunge people into ruin and what? Destruction. Verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Think for yourself for a moment. What can make you make a shipwreck of your faith? Pursuing prosperity. What can make you to have sleepless night? Pursuing prosperity. What will land you into many, many temptations? Pursue prosperity. When you begin to acquire things here on earth, it tells you you are susceptible to the moth. You are susceptible to what else? Rust. And you are susceptible to what? Thieves. I know some are saying that's not my portion in Jesus' name. But the Lord is the one telling you this. Is the one telling you this. When Job lost everything, Job just broke out in tongues and rebuked Satan, bound Satan. The Lord gave, and the Lord has what? Taken away. Contentment. His life did not contain in his what? Possession. Many of us can't sleep. You have just bought a car. You wake up 10 times to go and check whether it's still there. Depending on the area that you're living. Three things. If you build your treasures here, that will trouble your soul, that you become anxious, and the Lord has warned you not to be anxious for anything. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. 1 Timothy 6, 7 tells us this. 1 Timothy 6, 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. And Peter also tells us the end of this world. All the things that you and I are laying claim to, attaching sentiments to. It tells us in 2 Peter 3:12 that all these things will be burned with fervent heat. They will all go in flames. And this is what many of us attach our entire life to. Now, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, look at where your affection ought to be. Please, can you keep those children quiet? Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That is what the Lord says. And for you to know as a believer, this is what God expects you to know. Look at Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of Michael Jackson. Yeah. To be conformed to the image of who? His son. We've been talking about privileges that we have concerning our calling. Many of us don't understand our privileges in Christ. To be conformed to the image of Christ. Not what some of the churches are saying, that if you have the seed of God, then you are God's. And therefore, you have to think like God's. God is slow to anger. So many blasphemous things that people say outside there. And they speak these things to well in people, arrogance, greed, covetousness. And they pursue shadows. All these people who claim that they want to make you rich, they build empires for themselves. They build universities that you can't go to. They set up airlines that you can't pay for. But do you know what? Jeremiah says in chapter 5, the last verse, the priest, the prophet prophesied to you falsely. The priests bear rules by their own means. But my people, what? Love to have it so. You love to have people lie to you. Doesn't that happen with some of our young ladies? You know evidently that this night, in shining armor, he's lying. But no, the Lord will convert him. Who knows? You love to be lied to. You love it. But the Lord is calling our attention to all of this for us to be able to see that your heart, the Lord can see. The idolatry there. You remember in Luke chapter 18, the rich young ruler. It would have been the toast of any evangelist. He ran to the Lord. What must I do? To do what? To be saved. But this man had presuppositions. He has personal ideas of how to worship God. But we have heard they that must worship God, they must worship him in what? In spirit and in what? In truth. You cannot design the truth by which you are going to worship God by yourself. God must reveal himself. The God that must be worshipped must reveal himself to you. And when he reveals himself to you, he gives you the means by which you also come into his presence. The rich young ruler was told the state of his heart. Deep-seated idolatry. A man who loves mammon. I'm sorry, he might be an American anyway. You know why I say that he might be an American? Money, he loves money. Yeah, he loves money. Ford was asked one time, when would you stop making money? He said that when he makes one more dollar, insatiable art. Here, the rich young ruler was plagued with this lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He was nowhere near heaven, even though he claimed that from his youth he has always known the law of the Lord. He was nowhere near. I'm sorry if I use America as an example. Luke 12, verse 21. Luke 12. In Luke 12, in verse 21, we're told, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The rich young ruler was not rich towards God. What can you bring to the Lord that will endear the Lord to you to the extent that he will accept you for who and what you are? The psalmist says that man is like what? A maggot. Like maggot. Worm. And that is the same man that God has shown affection to. The Lord loves us not because of who and what you are. It is because of his only begotten son. And because of his only begotten son, we have been drawn by his electing love to himself. And God has shown us grace. He has shown us mercy in Christ Jesus. Your election is in Christ Jesus. Your justification is in Christ Jesus. Your sanctification is in Christ Jesus. The propitiation that you have, that the peace that you have with God is in Christ Jesus. You are passed from death into life. Does that mean that Christians can't be rich? That's not what the Bible is saying, because we're told that those who are rich among the Christians, look at what Paul told Timothy, to admonish those who are rich, who are Christians. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through to 19. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be what? Haughty. Not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now then, 18. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what? That which is truly life. You can't do good that is acceptable unto God unless God has imputed good into you, which is called justification. That is, God has made you good, acceptable to himself. The rich young ruler didn't have it. The rich young ruler didn't have it. The divers, that is the rich man against Lazarus, the man didn't have it. The rich young ruler that we're seeing was not benevolent, because all that the Lord told him is that sell all that you have and give to who? The poor. He didn't tell him to sell his brain. He can always make money. But he won't part with what he has. He won't part with what he has. Second point, warning against the lust of the eyes. Warning against the lust of the eyes. Look at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now the Lord uses a metaphor here to help us to see that the eye is like the window of the soul. And that is where the glorious light of the truth of God comes in. The entrance of his word gives what? Gives light. Without the entrance of God's light into you, there is no way you will be able to properly apply the knowledge of the word of God. And that is why we are told here that our eyes, we must guard our eyes. I'm not talking of my physical eyes, the eye of your soul. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 103. We've mentioned part of this last night. Psalm 103, verse 3, the A part. It says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Anything that is worthless, I won't set before my eyes. This is a deliberate action taken by this person. Things that will corrupt my soul, I will not subject my eyes to those things. We have talked about the issue of pornography. We have talked about scooping at people. As I am here, you know that my eyes are wide open. You don't know what my eyes are doing. But the Lord can see what your eyes are doing. The Lord can see your thoughts. Won't you be afraid of the one who can discern what is in you? And this psalmist says that he will make a deliberate attempt not to set his eyes upon worthless things. Have you made that deliberate attempt as well, that your eyes will not be set on worthless things? We've talked about social media. What do you scoop at? Pictures of women? Or do you as well paint your face, take those nice pictures and post it on the World Wide Web, and so that people can put click, 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 click? I put pictures there, so I'm not speaking, disparagingly. But I'm saying that those who have motives, who put their pictures outside there for some, whatever motive that they are doing it. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but from this world, the cosmic system, the power that rules in the children of disobedience. That same power affects what we see and how our body reacts, and ultimately the pride is to neglect the word of God. To neglect the word of God. It was the lust of the eyes that blinded Eve to a point of rebellion. It was the same lust of the eyes that made Achan to desire not just things that are devoted for destruction, but he stole these things. And he brought a curse upon himself and his family to the extent that they were destroyed. What about Balaam? What about Gehazi? The lost of the highest. He became leprous. We must see all these examples in the Bible as the Lord is speaking here to us that we need to guard our souls. We need to guard our souls. Psalm 119, verses 36 and 37. This is the prayer of the psalmist. And I expect all of us to pray this kind of prayer. He says, I incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Without the word of God, you can't refrain from worthless things. The same psalmist says, how shall a man or a young man keep himself from his sins? He says, by taking heed to the word of God. Earthly counsel can't help you. Earthly wisdom can't help you. Satan doesn't want to know you are stupid. Leave me alone. He doesn't want to hear that. Resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee from you. With which armor? With which armor? It is the armor of God, not your own armor. Not your own armor. So we have seen warning against earthly acquisition, and we have seen warning against the lust of the eyes. The third one is warning against hypocritical service. The Lord describes this for us to be able to see the sheer hypocrisy of the heart of man. Matthew 6 did not show us who the Lord was talking about, but Luke tells us who the Lord is actually talking about here. If you look at Luke 16, let's read verses 13 and 14. It says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now look at verse 14. The Pharisees, who were what? Lovers of money or covetous. ESV translates, makes it open. The word for covetousness is actually love for money. The Pharisees who love money. Many of us won't agree that most pastors, they love money. Especially the health and wealth pastors. Some of us seated here, we love money. We won't readily agree to it. These Pharisees were in front of the Lord Jesus Christ the same way the rich young ruler approached the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will not allow anybody to patronize him. Good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Why do you call me good? You don't patronize the Lord. He's omniscient. He knows your heart. And he went straight for the jugular. He knew where the heart of this man is. And this is the place it tells those people who love money. It is these people who love money that the Lord challenged and told them that you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. But then look at that verse 14 again. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things that the Lord Jesus Christ said, and they begged him for mercy. They did what? They derided him, and he, as we say, they ridiculed him. Think to yourself, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come into the midst of the health and wealth gospel preachers, and he tells them this, you think they will say something different, or they will look at him differently? The Bible says they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. Many of us might be hearing the word of God today, and the Lord is challenging you that you should lay off from earthly acquisitions, earthly pursuit. But will you ridicule the Lord at this time? Would you think that his message will not be appropriate for this time? Prophet Jeremiah makes it very plain. When the Lord challenges hypocritical mind, this is what he says, those who approach the Lord. We don't want to hear some of these things when the Lord is challenging us. I want the Lord to help me to know my heart so that I can confess my sins. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Not hear me. I want the word of God to reprove me, to instruct me, to correct me. But you can't be corrected if the Spirit of God is not in you. You can't be corrected. Look at Jeremiah 7 from verse 9. This is the Lord speaking to those who come before his presence. He says, will you steal? Will you murder? Will you commit adultery? Will you swear falsely, making offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that is, we are saved. Only go on doing all these abominations. Look at verse 11. As this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes, behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying to the congregation of those who come before him. Will you steal? Will you murder? Will you commit adultery? Is that what the Lord is telling you right now? Are you going to repent? Or will you ridicule him? Hear what Yahweh says in Psalm 50. I'll read from verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. And you thought I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. This is important for us to see that the Lord loves us. He loves his own people. And he corrects his own people. He wants you and I to give heed to his word. is telling us not to build any treasures here. There is too much competition in the body of Christ, wanting to become like Joneses. I think one anonymous person says that if you are green with envy, you are ripe for discipline. It's important for us to take these things to the heart and think about the call of God. He wants his people to be different. He wants his people to be conformed to the image and the likeness of his only begotten Son. He wants to put a marked difference between the Egyptian and the Israelite. He wants his people to truly be the light of this world. He wants his people to truly be the salt of the earth. He wants his people to be such that when they lift up the praises of God, God will sit upon the praises of his people, and God will be feared amongst his people. At some point in Joshua's life, in Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua called the people. He says, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You will have to choose. Would you continue to run helter-skelter? People telling you, come here, receive anointing for this. Will you continue to run? And when you say these things, some people, they get angry with their pastors who are mending their ways, who are mending their teachings. They say our pastor is teaching us not to plead the blood, not to sprinkle the blood. Somewhere in a gathering, a pastor looked at me and said, please, plead the blood on the food. And I said, why should I plead the blood? You mean I should give thanks for the food? He said, okay, whatever. Why should I plead the blood? People don't even understand, and many who do not think, you just follow all these things that they say and thinking that some of these people are spiritual. Sometimes the things that we say, we invoke the anger of God upon ourselves. I've spoken to you warning against earthly acquisition, warning against the lust of the eyes, and warning against what now? Hypocritical service. I want you to understand that idolatry is ingrained in everybody. Only God can deliver you or myself. Only God can dethrone Satan, the spirit that walks in the children of the sons of disobedience. Only God can dethrone him and enthrone Christ in your life. All these earthly acquisitions will continue to attract anxiety for you. Many of us are sick. We don't know why we are sick. Blood pressures are going up. We don't know why blood pressures are going up. We can't explain some of these things. That is why many of us will not readily agree to idolatry. Many. But you will blame it on generational curse. It's one father or it's one grandfather that is doing you. No. You are susceptible to temptation, snare, painful and harmful lust if you're pursuing earthly acquisitions. We're told to guard the window of our souls. so that we can be spiritually healthy. Proverbs 25:28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. You need to guard your souls. Once your soul has no fence, people will dump all kinds of things in your soul and you will believe a lie. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. You can either serve God or you will serve mammon or money or the devil. There is no middle ground. Galatians 6:7-8 tells us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap what? Eternal life. Guard your soul against idolatry. Guard your soul against idolatry. The 10th commandment says this as I close. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. May the Lord help us. Amen. Let's pray.